They all said yes. Way ahead of me. Thank you, guys. All right. First of all, I'd like to welcome you all. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming and showing up. I appreciate this because I feel like the time between Christmas and New Year's, at least for me, I don't know about anyone else, if you can relate to this, let me know. But that time is just this weird haze, like where you don't really know what day it is. You kind of seem like, it's just confusing, you know? And some people don't relate to that, but I think it has to do with all the Christmas festivities. You know, we had the Christmas market here, for those of you here. I tend to like four white elephant Christmas parties, not to brag or boast. It gets, after a while, you're like, no more. Please. You know, we travel. There's a lot of stress in buying gifts and all these things that come with Christmas. You know, there's the meetings and blessing, the great time with family, or, political heated debate. I don't know which one's better, but I know that those things occur. And so with all these things with Christmas and the whole month of December, you know, there's kind of this epic come down in a sense. And at least for me, you know, I sometimes feel that each and every year. Now, you know, I think that this come down isn't necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, we're in a new season. We're in a season of change. We're in a season that's called the new year, right? And we're kind of starting to look back, or not look back, we're looking forward. So we're going, you know, the month of December's gone, we're looking forward to the new year. And this message today is not going to be looking so much back, but it's going to be looking forward. Not so much forward, but we're going to be looking back. I want to look at why December is so amazing. And that we shouldn't just look to the new year as our hope and inspiration, but look at why December is important in that we shouldn't forget it. So what makes December special? Even for Christians and non-Christians alike, December is awesome. I think that people generally enjoy December. I think there's a lot of giving, a lot of good things that happen. But despite these things, you know, there's also some things that we don't like. For me, for instance, this whole month has been just a whole, basically, me trying to avoid eating baked goods. And I have to be honest with you, I failed. You know, the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. And so, you know, for this New Year's, if I have one message, it's can you please slow down on the baked goods, church, because you guys are killing me this season. But anyways, moving forward, I think there's also some good things with Christmas that both the outside church and the people within the church enjoy. When I was watching you guys serve this Christmas season, it inspired me. It really did. This was an amazing year. Whether it was a Christmas market, I mean, there was just so much Christ. There was so much selflessness. And I loved every minute of it. And I want to thank you for that. I really do. But I have kind of a crazy, you know, this message is going to be a little crazy today. Yeah, I'm crazy. Yeah, exactly. I think that this is. I want to know if this is possible. This might be crazy, but what if we can make December year-round? Why are we so quick to move on from December? The great things about December, the selfless loves of Christ, the giving, and all these things. And what if we could make that all years or all months of the year? What would it look like to the people outside the world? And I think that's something that we should contemplate today. How would you be affected by that change? That'd be difficult. I know it would for me. But looking back to the shepherds, you know, we had the message of angels of Reno, and looking back in the month of December, I think Jay did a great job of showing how amazing what the true Christmas spirit, or not spirit, I should say, what Christmas is really about. And he said, you know, we're angels of Reno, and we're meant to serve. And he really made it a point that we're meant to serve, we're here to serve. And this year, or this Christmas, I really saw that. And we saw that also in the shepherds. You know, we saw that in looking back at the shepherds, they were just normal people. But God used them. And I, instead of looking forward, I want to look back. I want to look back to the month of December. I want to look back to those shepherds. I want to go back to the birth of Jesus, why it's so important. And I want to look back at Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And I want to look back to what that actually means in the renewal of life and how important that is in our day-to-day life. So my message to today is it's titled The Abrogation of Self. What does that even mean? Honestly, I didn't know what abrogation meant, but you know, I use a thesaurus. It sounds really slick, in my opinion, so you gotta give me some props on that. But abrogation, in definition, it means to repeal. It's actually a legal term. It means to repeal or put an end to. Or a better word for it might be to deny. In Christian terms, deny yourself. Or, as we know it, you know, take up your cross and follow Him. Deny ourselves. And that's the verse we'll be focusing on today. What does that mean? What does it mean to deny yourself? In the Bible, we see deny yourself so many times. I thought it was really interesting. It kept sticking out to me during the holiday season. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. We also see die to yourself. In implication of dying yourself. We see the Bible talk about crucifying our flesh. We see it talking about dying to sin. It also mentions losing our life. So what does it actually mean to deny yourself, or to die to yourself, or to crucify your flesh, or, you know, to die with Christ? What do all those things mean? It can be kind of confusing, right? But I think all these texts that have this in there are basically saying the same truths. And we're going to tackle this. And we're going to tackle this by reading First Luke chapter 9. Will be our verse for today. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, once again, to put my thesaurus cap on, I'm going to go back to a Greek translation of deny, which means to renounce. And it also means to disown. Now, what does this mean? Basically, it's saying, this verse is saying, that we must renounce, we must disown our own self-interest. And essentially what it means is that we have to put God's interest above ourselves. Now, this is an important meaning, but this is not the end of the sermon. In fact, we're going to go much deeper this morning, and we're going to look at what that actually means. And what it means to really, truly deny yourself. It's not exactly, it doesn't sound too great at first, right? But I'm going to tell you, this is essential to the Christian faith. Now, in this verse, it says there's three parts. It says, deny yourself. First, that's step one. Take up your cross daily and to follow Him. And that's basically the commandments for what a true disciple looks like. You know, dying to yourself is not just a one-time act, right? That's salvation. We know that. But Jesus, according to Jesus, not according to me, not according to my wisdom, because I really don't have any. Trust me. According to Jesus, it says you have to not deny yourself. You have to take up your cross daily. So what's that mean for us? That means that denying yourself is an active choice we make not once, but daily. It's a lifelong process. Of which we call in Christian theology sanctification. It's something that we have to do daily. It's something that needs to be our main focus on our minds. And Jesus says if you don't do that first step, if you don't deny yourself first and accept Christ and then deny yourself daily, then you're not a true disciple. Let that sink in for a second. But a bigger question than this, if you were to, you know, go in Reno and randomly meet someone on the street and say, you know, like, you should die to yourself, you should deny yourself. Well, the next question out of their mouth would be, why? And that's a good question, why? Why should we die to ourselves? In fact, if we really think about this, this is completely crazy. It really is. It's completely countercultural, and it doesn't make any sense. And most people we see walking around, ground. They wouldn't recommend to do this. So why should we die to ourselves? Well, the Apostle Paul outlines why in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Paul sums it up by saying that it's because of the mercies, not singular, but plural, mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? I don't know where you're at in your life, but I know sometimes I can really struggle with the concept of God's mercy because I don't always feel like I feel it. It's not really a feeling, but there is truth in His mercy. So what are the mercies of God? Well, the mercies of God are this, that we deserve condemnation, that He came to save us. That He gave us the law, and through our works, we tried to become righteous, but we didn't even want to. We didn't even want to try. And then God, in His own mercy, saw that there was a problem. There was a problem not in the things that humans think of, not in our physical condition so much as this battle, but it's actually a heart condition. That's where the problem lies. And so He sent, in His mercy, His only begotten Son, the Holy Savior, Jesus, who lived perfectly for us, to die for us on the cross, and to raise up. He rose up into the heavens. He defeated death. He rose up into the heavens, sit at the right hand of the Father. And today, He intercedes for each and every one of you Christians. Now, if that's not motivation for you, then I don't know what is. So, if I'm going to sit up here today, you know, and try to motivate you, then I think I've failed. You don't need any more motivation. And you know, if I'm going to sit here and say, you know, if you serve God, you'll be blessed. You'll get these financial benefits or this new car. If that's what I need to motivate you, then you're lost. If I say, if you serve God, then all your health problems, all your problems that you have with relationships or other things will be magically fixed. Then you're lost. If Jesus does not motivate you into God and living every single day, then I would say, you don't know Jesus. Now this message I'm preaching is not, I want to take a step back and say this message I'm preaching is not just for you. But there's three fingers pointing at myself up here. Because this is what I'm talking about is the central Christian faith. And what I'm talking about is something we all struggle with. We all struggle with. I struggle with an extreme amount. It's not easy. And I'll tell you a story to kind of get into this. It's simple, Christ and Christ alone. But when I was my first year as a Christian, I had a Christian mentor named Brian. He worked at the Boys and Girls Club. He was much older than me, much wiser. And he had a simple but strong faith. I don't know if you know many people like that, but it was just everything was just so strong in his strong foundation. But I would always try to argue with him because I was young, arrogant, and that's what I like to do. I like to challenge ideas. I wanted to challenge his faith. And I had my own doubts and fears, and I would bring them to him. And he would always kind of respond in simple ways, and it bothered me because I said, Brian, one day I screamed him, like, the Christian life is so complex, it's hard. He says, no, it's not. And I said, that's not really an answer. You can't just say, no, it's not. It's pretty hard. And he's like, no, it's not. And I was like, Brian, you're not listening to me, okay? Like, there's so many paths. There's so many things to choose in life, right? There's so many options. You know, it's like we could go this direction or that direction. We could choose that college or that career. Or how do we know what God's wanting us to do? I mean, there's just so many options and so many things thrown at you. It's really complex, Brian. Like, how can you not see that? And he just said, no, it's not. And he won because he's my elder. That was his go-to answer. No. He said, it's not. It's simple. I said, no, it's complex. He said, no, it's simple. He said, I have the exact same, and I remember this, he said, I have the exact same problem as you have. The question isn't all these other things. The question is, are you going to obey or not? That's it. And I've always remembered that because there's so much truth. We think we have all these struggles. We think we have all these issues. And yes, physically, we might have some issues in your life, but really, you only have one struggle. And that struggle is, are you going to put your life at God's disposal or not? Now, I want to step back and say, you know, putting your life at God's disposal doesn't mean just doing more. It might mean to rest and draw near to Him. He might just want you to read the book of John. It might mean to go down the street and help with the Alzheimer's clinic, or to do some volunteer things, or help here at the church. It might mean to simply focus on the ministry closest to you, your family, who you might have been neglecting for other pursuits and put aside for. That might be the most what God wants you to focus on. My point is this. It's not about doing all these amazing things or trying to achieve through works. It means putting yourself truly at His disposal. Your whole, not just your heart, but your life, your body, everything. And not trying to do something extra. It's literally that. Just put yourself at His disposal. And we're going to read from Ephesians right now, chapter 5, 2. And this really kind of sums it up for me. And walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What's that mean? Well, some of you might say, well, what do I have to give? I don't know what I have to give. And I say, you have a lot to give. We all have gifts. And to say that, you know, I don't have something to give is to say that God gave you nothing, which is not true. I don't believe that. So we all have gifts. We all have something to offer. We all have a purpose in life. And the ministry you have right in front of you might be the most important. Now I want to think about the shepherds, those shepherds who were laying in the field, right? At that night that Jesus was born. What were they doing? This is a fascinating story. What were they doing? They were doing what they do every single day. Shepherds, you know, their job is not glorious. I mean, how many can you relate to this? It's really monotonous. Their whole life revolves around watching sheep for the entire life. I mean, how many things did we get to do today? And yet, they're being faithful to what they're doing. And I think the most important thing is they're doing what they can do with what God's given them. And I think God honored that by using a moment of Jesus' birth. He uses them. Why does He use the shepherds? Because He used other people, but I think it's because of where they're at with their heart. Because they heard the message from the angels. The angels came down, and then they went to go to see Jesus, right? They could have not gone, but they decided to go. And after that, they decided to glorify God. And they told everyone about it. They spread the message. Okay, these are shepherds. These are people that are very normal, aren't important. How many of you can relate to that in your life? You feel like, well, the stuff I have, you know, it's not that important. And is it really that important in God's eyes? Yes, it is. The ministry, anything that you have right now is the most important thing in your life that you need to focus that God's given you. It's important to focus on those things. Now, the shepherds didn't have a gift like the wise men. They didn't have actual physical gifts to bring. But what they had was the willingness to serve God and the willingness to praise Him and the willingness to preach the gospel. And so do you. We all have that gift and we all should use it. I want to remind you of the Angels of Reno stories we shared last month. Right? Those were some awesome stories. And I was really blessed to hear those, right? But what were those stories really about? Those stories were testimonies of people who allowed themselves, right? They died to themselves to be at the service of God. Despite their fears and distractions, a lot of those testimonies, right? The people were very open talking about, like, I didn't really want to go do this. I didn't want to go tell this person, this atheist, about Christ for that day. Despite that they had other things going on, they were allowing themselves to simply be at the disposal of God. I want you guys to know that many of us are striving to be happy, right? That's the theme of the season, right? Okay, like, what can I do this year to make, like, be happier with myself? And I want you to know that striving to be happy is not a bad thing, but we're doing it in the wrong way. In fact, millions of people are doing it in the wrong way. I have to tell you this. The times myself that I have died to self, and I want you guys to know there have been there have not been enough. It's been very few. The times that I've been said, God, you know, today, it might sound crazy, but I'm just going to live for you. And whatever you want me to do, like, I'm just going to be sensitive to that, and I'm going to do it. Those times, those rare times, I have to be honest with you, it's made me the happiest man alive during that day. And many of you here can relate. I know you can. Now contrast that to the times which are far greater. And I put myself, gave lead in front of other people, which really means putting myself in front of Jesus. I have been absolutely miserable and have that remorse. And I know, brothers and sisters, that you have felt those times. I know that right now you're thinking of those times where you've really given your life to God and the joy and the peace that it brings you and the energy it brings you and the life and the times when you have been selfish. And what did that do for you? Well, it brought you to be remorseful, miserable, didn't make your life better? No, not in the long term. So my answer to you is this, why do we do it? You know, I just say stop it. If you want to fix your problems, right? This is the New Year season. If you want to fix your relationships, if you want to fix your problems, whatever it might be, the answer is not to buy a program necessarily. The answer is not to do all these other things. Yeah, you can do those things. But the answer really is this. It's this simple. And I'm talking spiritually, not physically. The answer is you have to die yourself and offer yourself to God. Offer your life to God where it belongs. It's written, the one who tries to gain his life will lose it. This is the opposite of how the world works. To die to yourself in this world, is it crazy? Yes. Is it offensive? Is this message offensive? Yes. 100%. We live in a world where it's all about self-promotion, being strong and being powerful, and getting things so people will applaud you. But that's not how it works in God's kingdom. It's not about climbing the ladder. About going down the ladder. It's not about getting your feet washed, it's about washing other people's feet. Step one is simple. Are you going to try to take the reins of your life and lose it? Or are you going to give them to God and have true life? Now, as I conclude this message, I want to say that denying ourselves is simply the starting block. And the reason I'm passionate about this message is because without it, we're lost. When I talk to people who aren't Christian or argue or whatever you want to call it, defend the faith, I realize it's not. People will say all these things about why Christianity is not true or these other things, but I've realized that those are all distractions. The real problem is within our own heart, that we won't give our lives to God and that we won't deny ourselves. That we enjoy selves. In fact, I think it's more of our true nature to enjoy trying to be in the driver's seat. It's our true nature. And we have to, like Jesus said, it's a daily, daily thing. Now, from this place of submission, we can live out our true purpose, which begs the question, right? What does God want from us this new year? Since it is the new year season, I had to throw that in there. What does he want for us this year? What does he want for me this year? If you're having a hard time coming up with an answer right now, I will tell you why. Typically, myself included, or we as Christians, get hung up on three questions. One, where? Where should we be for God? Where should we go? Where should God use us? Where can we be used? Number two, when? When is the right timing? Or I don't think I should do this now. think that God's calling you right now to do this. You know, when God's timing is right, I'll know that I'm going to do it. And number three, we're finally getting hung up on how. How, say God gives you a call and God puts something on your heart. Well, how do I get there, Lord? How do I get to that position? When God called me to go work with the Boys and Girls Club and go work with kids, I thought, what are you doing? I don't want to work with kids. And I thought, I don't like kids. How am I supposed to talk to kids? How am I supposed to work with them? How does that work out? And I couldn't see the in-between, right? I just saw what he gave me. And so that brings me to my final thing, is that we get hung up on all these questions. We get hung up on where, when, how, and we get all stressed out about these things. And while we look at the shepherds and other biblical figures and we kind of are envious that they have these spiritual messages almost in a way that are very direct, we're like, I could use a couple of those. Please, Lord. But I want us to not forget that the majority of their life that they spent with uncertain details and no direct answer from God. In fact, many times they're going through issues and there's nothing. You know, they're in the desert, so to say. However, we must not allow the uncertainty of details to distract us from the certainty of God's command. Today, I want you to know this. We cannot allow the where, the when, and the how to distract us from the most important thing, which is the what. What does God want from us? To answer this question, I want to focus on a few times in Scripture where God gives an overarching command, right? Where he gives the overarching command to his people. It gives them a what? Micah 6, it's written, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So he requires them to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. In Matthew 22, Jesus also says to love God and to love your neighbor. And that those two commandments are the fulfillment of all what the prophets were talking about. Just those two commandments is what he boiled it down to. So, like I said, we can get paralyzed with fear of when, how, and all these other things. But at the end of the day, it's what. And what I want us to take note is in that these callings are not concerned with when and how to start, but they're calling us to be obedient. And that's where we should start. Deny yourself. Be obedient. Follow him. Take up your cross. That's where it all starts. And that's where we need to go every single day. In fact, in my life, when I've been committed to doing what God has already commanded me to do, I've found that he gives me clarity about the where and the how he wants me to do it, and the when. So, this New Year's season, brothers and sisters, let's not complicate our lives, okay? Let's not go from a season of giving back into a season of self. Let's not go or be distracted by the pursuit of things that can't fill the place in a heart that is only meant for God, and you know it, and I know it. Deny yourself and your own kingdom to be a part of building God's kingdom. Take up your cross, for it is your calling, your purpose, and your destiny. And follow Jesus. Follow the King, the true King. Not the King of this world, the King of God's kingdom. Because the reward is matchless and is worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this message today. I pray that this message hits home to some people here. It hits home to myself as well. I thank you for the fact that Jesus was sent as a gift for us to die for us. change our hearts. Lord, today I pray that we can put our hearts towards you, Lord. That we can set aside our selfish desires, set aside the season that begs us to focus on ourselves and focus on you, where we belong and where we're meant to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.